water. I need some water. Big jug of water. Okay, little. Good to be here. What an understatement. God is so gracious. What a privilege for my wife and I to get a chance to be here on a very special, very personal occasion for this church. And so I appreciate the Lord working it out for us to be here this day. I'm glad that in the early years that we came here, we got to meet Brother Manny and Miss Terry. So when they went to the mission field, and they've been talked about every year since, we knew who they were. And our prayers were for people that we have met. And it's real good to be here today. Take your Bible tonight and go to Exodus chapter 34. I want to read a poem. I'm not the three-point-in-a-poem guy. I didn't think. Maybe I am. I don't know. But this goes like this. You want to sit there right there? I was shocked, confused, and bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights or its decor. But it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Bob, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so silent, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, child, Jesus said. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd be seeing you. I'll tell you what. There's going to be some people in for a rude awakening when we get to the other side and find out that it really was the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed us from all sin. And there's going to be some folks that are going to think they had it made smooth sailing because compared to so-and-so, they're pretty good. And it's crying shame, but a Bible truth, a bunch of them folks are going to lift up their eyes in hell. Amen. I hope that doesn't include anyone here in our midst this day. Because the gate, the door to heaven is still wide, still hinges on Jesus Christ. Exodus 34 tonight. Been a long day. I understand you've been in church. You've ate or eaten. I don't know. Which is it? Who cares? And so I want you to know that that doesn't faze me a bit. And I'm not going to cut my message short just because you want to sing 40 songs. No, that's not going to. But I'll promise you this. All I want to give you is what the Lord wants me to give you. So when he's done, I'll try to be done. Amen. Exodus 34 and verse 6, the Bible says this, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Well, what a resume. Amen. What a list of attributes of the lovely Lord that Brother Pat said he longed to see one more time. I'm glad that a day's coming where we won't just see him one more time. We'll see him continually throughout all eternity. I'm glad to know that he's my Savior today. It says there that he's merciful. Boy, if there's anything worthy of an amen tonight, it's the truth that God is merciful. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, just prior to those verses that we love so well, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for that truth. But it says in verse 4 of Ephesians 2 that he's rich in mercy. Amen. Yeah. He's rich in a lot of things. But for my sake and for your sake, it was a good thing he is rich in mercy. That's what we needed. It says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy is what you ask a judge for. Mercy is what you throw yourself on before the court. Why? Hoping that you don't get what you deserve. And I'm telling you tonight that because of the lovely Lord has been rich in mercy, none of us have to get what we deserve. God is rich in mercy tonight, whether you're saved or lost. If you're saved, you've experienced a great amount of mercy when he washed your sins away in his blood. And if you're in here tonight and you're not saved yet, well, he's not suffering any economic setback, and he's still rich in mercy and is more than willing and able to put your name in his book of life tonight. Amen. But I got to say this, though he's rich in mercy, and is merciful as he proclaims himself to be in our text, you're still going to have to go to God and ask for it. I'm glad there was a day where I bowed my, not just my knee, but my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked for mercy. I knew who I was, and I knew what I was, and I knew what I deserved. But I got a Bible that says I don't have to get it because God is merciful. I'm glad he's merciful tonight, and I'm glad I went to him and asked him for it because I got it. And whatever the circumstance, saved or lost, whatever the situation tonight, if you'll go to God for mercy, you'll get it. I don't know about you. That's good news. That's good news to me because I found that I need it on a regular basis. I'm glad I got it in that all-important time, that determining factor, that pivotal decision that determined where my soul would spend eternity. I'm glad for eternity's sake I got it. But boy, I come to find out I've had to throw myself on the mercy of the court quite a few times this side of the cross, and I've always got it. It said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. The next thing here it said, gracious. And in the verse in Hebrews 4 in 16, it said, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, beloved, but that's a regular basis there. I need grace to help in time of need, because I always seem to be in a time of need. And God, he's abundant there too. It says in Psalm 145 verse 8, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. It seems that mercy and grace are inseparable, and I'm glad they are tonight. I'm glad he's gracious. I'm glad he's merciful. I'm glad he's long-suffering. It says over there in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. You know, I've got that highlighted, underlined, circled, arrows pointing to it. Whenever I find a reference to the long-suffering of God in my Bible, I am reminded that he was long-suffering with me. I was just about 2 months, about 2 months shy of 38 years old when I got saved. I thank God tonight for a praying mother and father. And others too, other relatives I didn't even acknowledge or think about because, that wasn't common ground. We didn't talk about God. They just talked to God about me. And it paid off. And I'm glad he was long-suffering. It says he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, I could care less of what the Greek means or says in the English. That book says any.
Amen.
Not willing that any.
Amen.
Not God is not willing that any should perish. I wonder if sometimes there's some that we are willing should perish. Well, because God gives us opportunities to speak to Him, to even to pray for Him, and we don't, because of something in their life we find unacceptable or we find disgusting. I wonder if we're not saying to God that we don't care whether they go to hell or not. Well, I don't want to be guilty of that. I'm not saying I not pretend couldn't possibly be, but I don't want to be. He's long-suffering. He was long-suffering with me and you. Amen. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. But as long-suffering as he is, it's still up to an individual to come to repentance. Amen. I say this. You know, God's merciful and he's gracious and he's long-suffering, but as long-suffering as he is, it's a bad idea to push your luck too long. Because we don't know. We don't know how many chances. We don't know how much time. In Romans 1, he gave a crowd up, and he gave a crowd up, and finally gave them over to a reprobate mind. I don't believe that means God couldn't save them. But I believe if you push yourself too long, you stiffen your neck, you harden your heart, you'll come to a point where you're not likely to ever get in on the mercy, the grace, the long-suffering of God and come to repentance. And you got to come to repentance. And the Lord wants you to. So if God's dealing with you about something, he's sure enough giving you a chance this day to do something about it. And this isn't, Brother Pat said it right. Now listen, don't get me wrong, I am a major fan of the old-fashioned altar call. I really am. And I understand there's nothing magic about it. And I understand you can pray in your seat. You can go up on the roof. I don't care where you pray, as long as you pray. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of the best times I've ever had as a Christian have been right down at an altar. Right while the Word of God had been freshly sown in my heart. And I wanted to respond. Not for a show. I didn't care if people thought when I was lost. I'm not hung up on that now. Amen? I say that to say this. I'm for coming, but I don't want to ever give the impression that simply by coming, it's not magical. Everything just isn't easy to get victory over. Everything just doesn't go away with a prayer. Even with the best of intentions of your heart. Some things take some time. Some things take some work. Some things, amen, are hard. But beloved, get God in on it as soon as possible. That's where it starts. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. And then it says this, abundant in goodness and truth. And one day I got looking through this message, and boy, the eyes started to tear. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 31. As I just pondered and contemplated for a few minutes, the goodness of God. He's rich in mercy, but he is abundant in goodness. Psalm 31. See if I can find my own place. In verse 19, I believe. Oh, look at it says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Go to Psalm 33 and verse number 5. Let's see what that one says. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You got to look for it, but that's what the Bible says. Psalm 52, verse number 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Go to Psalm 107. Much as I like these attributes, the one I want to preach on, the one I feel it's appropriate to dwell on for a little while this afternoon, I mean, come on, the goodness of God. I can't get over it. I don't want to get over it. Amen. Psalm 107 and verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. When the Bible starts repeating itself, it's trying to get something across to you. There's a reason. Amen. Verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. I tell you what, He's worthy of our praise. He's definitely worthy of our praise for His goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. We should all be able to agree this afternoon that God is abundant in goodness. Amen? Amen. On the other hand, it says about man in Job chapter 5 verse 7, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. I remember in the early days in the motorcycle club back in Detroit, I had these pair of engineer boots. Big old heel plate on the bottom, each one. Walk in a place, make a lot of noise, get a lot of attention. That's what he wanted. Late at night, going home, take that heel of that boot and grind it into the asphalt. And boy, you can send sparks 20 feet in the air. I got a hold of this verse. It's not very good on the boot, by the way. I got all this verse that said, man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. And sparks fly upward when two things that were never supposed to come in contact with each other. That's what causes sparks. Just like that heel in the asphalt. That's the way we are. We are diametrically opposed to God. Without God leading and directing. Without us acknowledging His goodness and His mercy and His grace and His long-suffering. That's what we are, man. We are going against the grain. Sending sparks upward. Thank God. God's goodness. I'm glad the human race has a problem it can't fix, and God's got a solution for it. God's got a solution for everything. The solution to man's problem is the goodness of God. Because it says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Amen. God's good. Something in your life needs to be confessed. Not to me. Sorry. I don't go in a phone booth with nobody. Amen. Something in your life needs to be repented of. The goodness of God has given you another chance. The goodness of God, if we just ponder it, if we just grasp it, if we just get our eyes off our problems and think about the goodness of God, the grace of God, we'd fall on our face and ask God to forgive us for murmuring and complaining. Testimony of the Old Testament Jew in the wilderness. They'd have a problem. They'd cry out. God would send them a visible miracle, and they would promise, oh, thank you, God. We'll follow you forever. What they meant by forever, I guess in Hebrews, the word forever means until the next bump in the road. Because the next bump in the road, they'd do the same thing. And sometimes we'll look at our Bible and say, yeah, those people, God did miracles right before their face. And look at how short-sighted they were. They are a perfect type of a New Testament Christian. That's exactly what. There's not one miracle that God did in the Old Testament that compares to the miracle you got in your lap with the finished revelation of Jesus Christ. And God gets us through stuff, and we'll thank Him, and then the next bump in the road, here we are in the pastor's office again. Amen. I just want to talk about the goodness of God. Let's pray again. Father, I love You. You sure have been good to this old sinner. I'm not talking about 23 years ago in a jail cell, although that was good to even begin to describe it. I'm not talking about all the miracles that You worked in life and kept me out of prison and put me in the ministry and gave me a family and gave me a respectable, honorable occupation. I'm not talking about that. You've been good to me today just by allowing me to be with this church family and not just to be here as a outside observer, but to be made to feel like we belong and are part of it. And I don't know if I can ever get it across to anybody how much that means to my wife and I. Even she pointed out as we sang farther along and it talked about the toils of the road. And she pointed to the word toil and said, it should say the joys of the road. Because it's a joy to be here today. Lord, please, let me just say a few things to encourage these precious folks so they can go home honestly, truthfully, being able to say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. I pray for anybody in there that might not be saved, that they wouldn't leave that way. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The goodness of God. Let me just say a few things. David did say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And it's the goodness of God that even gives us a church. Gives us a church family. Amen. I love coming to church. Amen. I see my friends in church. Amen. I like churches where people are in no hurry to leave. It's not punching the clock. It's not checking in and checking out and that, things like that. I'll be in church and during the course after a meeting is over, people will say goodbye and I'll fellowship around and sometimes another half hour and make it out the door and get to the parking lot. And half the people that said, I'll see you tomorrow, they never even got off the property. I like that. Hey, we got to spend as many hours as we have to spend in the nasty now and now. You know, we pray for the sweet by and by, and we live in the nasty now and now. And we got to go out there. But boy, I'm in no hurry to leave the fellowship Amen. Of God's people. Somebody said, you have to like church. You're a preacher. I don't like coming to church. I'm in church almost every day. I don't like coming to church because I'm a preacher. I think God let me be a preacher because I loved coming to church. Yeah, listen, I wasn't a couch potato when I was lost. I didn't sit around thinking about watching television and that foolishness. I was very busy. I was very active. It just made sense that I had to fill a void of places that Ray Charles could see. I needed to quit going to. I needed a place to go. And God gave me a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio. And I'm glad. I'm glad. When I got into church, I found men and ladies who weren't ashamed to live for Jesus Christ, for stand up and proclaim their love for the lovely Lord that went to the cross for them. I looked around and as I got to know my church family in Dayton, I thought, this is what I've been looking for all my life. Something real. Something worth living for. Something worth fighting for. Something worth dying for. I tried the paratroopers and I tried the gangs and I'll tell you what, I found it. Okay, correction. He found me at the bottom of a horrible pit. And He brought me up. And out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And He's the rock. Amen. And I thank God tonight that He gives us the church. Amen. But I got to say to you, as good as it is to be in church, that doesn't mean you're saved. We're not taking that for granted. Amen. Well, if you slept in the garage tonight, that wouldn't make you a car. If you slept in a barn, that wouldn't make you a horse. Well, some people act like, if I come to church once a week, surely I'll get into heaven. It isn't going to work like that. As good as it is that God's given us the church and the church family, as good as it is, amen, we have a place where we can come apart from this world. As good as it is, just coming to church. Listen, people join churches all the time. People give to churches. People participate in church events. That's not getting anybody into heaven. Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen. And again, as good as it is, God's abundant in goodness, but as good as it is to be in church, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to get that thing nailed down. I mean, come on. How could God have made it any easier? He did it all. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is be honest with yourself. Amen. We're sinners. He died for sinners. We're qualified, pre-approved. Amen. Put a stamp on it. Mail it in. Come get it. Amen. And let me say this too now. As good as it is to be saved and to be in church, that doesn't mean you're right with God either. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You know, I'll tell you what happens, man. We get some victory and we clean up. Amen. We get a little Bible in our belt, maybe a mission trip or two, maybe some souls and some verses hidden in our heart. We get satisfied with ourselves. And the next thing, right in the pew. Something changes within our heart, and here's how it comes out. Thank God I'm not as other men are. The Bible says a backslider in heart. Backsliding starts right here. Just because you're in church, saved and in church, doesn't mean you're right with God. Doesn't mean you shouldn't avail yourself to Holy Ghost conviction. If the Lord speaking to you about something, get right. Amen. Backsliding doesn't start in the feet. It starts right there in the seat. It's the grace of God. It's the goodness of God. It's the long-suffering of God. It's the mercy of God that gives us a church to enjoy one another as we worship Him. But don't take it for granted. Amen? And don't think that just being in the building, it's not magic either. Okay? Goodness of God, it gives the church to go to. Brother Pat makes a lot about songs and singing and praising and worshiping. I don't know where he gets that. Okay, yes, I do. You know that verse in Psalm 2 about the horrible pit, Psalm 40 in verse 2, but verse 3 says, and he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust to the Lord. He took out Inagata De Vita and put in Amazing Grace. How's that for a new song? Amen. I'm telling you. Music fascinates me. I really appreciate the music in this church. You got a lot of talent. I just want to know I hate you guys. No, not really. Amen. The only thing I ever got good at was the jukebox. I'm 23 years out of practice by the grace of God. Amen. But I really respect musical ability, playing the instruments or singing. And so they say, if you got it, and some of you I know do, and I don't know about everybody, you better be real careful to use it for the Lord because the devil wants it. Yeah. It's a gift from God. I mean, the rock stars, all that, it's still a gift from God. They're letting the wrong God direct their life. And I've seen Christians who began playing, singing, or both in church for God, I watch them get real good and then lend their talent to the world. And at the end of the day, that's for the God of this world. So you need to be real careful with music. It's very important to God. And, well, I don't have any problem saying this stuff here because you guys got it. You got it right. Be careful of contemporary Christian music. Amen? Godly music stirs the heart. And most of that stuff, let's face it, it just stirs the flesh. Amen. I will. Watch this. Amen, Brother Spurgeon. See? I got it. You know what them old hymns like we've been singing, Brother Pat? You know what they do? They remind me of Calvary.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, when we're singing them, you know, I'm not thinking about feeling warm and fuzzy, and that's as kumbaya as I get right there. Don't even think about it. They remind me of Jesus Christ. They remind me of Calvary. There's more sound doctrine in that hymnal than there is in a, well, coming across the pulpits of most of the churches in America these days. You know what those old hymns do? When they stir my heart, like they do his, they remind me of something. They remind me that I'm not the same as I used to be. I'm serious. I mean, my flesh is one thing, but those old hymns that remind me of Calvary, that speak to my heart, oh my, they remind me that something's different. Something changed. Something happened.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I know what it is too. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. Sometimes my flesh tries to convince me that I am the same as I used to be. Amen. But I'm not. I'm not. Because I love church. I'm not the same. I love Christian music. I love you guys. I must be saved. Amen. All those things, what works together to bear witness that the Spirit of God can use to bear witness. Even though the flesh is fighting, it doesn't lay down and die. But those things the Spirit of God can put His finger on to say, the devil's a stinking liar. And you are a new creature. That's the goodness of God, beloved, that even gives us a new song, that even gives us a place to gather like this. Amen? And one more, since I had a poem. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but on us which are saved, it is the power of God. I love Bible preaching. I like Bible preaching. Amen. It's the goodness of God that'll cause a man to open a book and just shoot straight and trust God to make it come out in such a way that it'll help people and not offend them. Amen. That's why in some churches they never preach on sin. They never preach get right. They never preach it because they'd be afraid. I'm not afraid of offending you. I love you. I know that the Bible preaching will help. It helps me. I just got to trust that because in man's way of thinking, that doesn't make any sense at all. I love Bible preaching. It's the goodness of God that's given us the Bible and at no small cost. 500 years ago plus, people were burned at the stake so that you and I could have a King James Bible in our lap. Maybe we ought to take it a little more seriously. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Not religion, not ritual, not rules. The Bible is a roadmap for navigating through a life in such a way that we can glorify our Creator. Which is what He'll use to point others to Jesus Christ. It's the goodness of God that gives us the Bible and gives us Bible preaching. I like Bible preaching because, not because it challenges me to learn. Teaching does that. Lost people like teaching. How can you tell? Man, I'd hate to think, do they still make phone books? I'd hate to think how many schools of some sort, Higher education, I'm not talking about high school. There are in this area. Lost people love to go and learn and take classes. And the Bible says last days Christians do too. Because in 2 Timothy 4:3 it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Okay, we're there. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Preaching doesn't challenge me to learn. Teaching's for that. And when we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, that's good. But the thing about preaching is, it challenges you to get right with God. It challenges you to stay right with God. It challenges you to present your body a living sacrifice, and to present your body a vessel meet for the Master's use. That's why I like preaching. Amen? What does it do for you? It's the goodness of God that's even given us a book and men that will dedicate their life to preach it. And I know this. I can be in a service like this, and people like singing, and people like testifying, and people like a lot of things. Especially that food. Ladies, come on. But something happens when a preacher steps into the pulpit. No, a pastor will see it. When he gives announcements and when he does the... But something happens when you say, open your Bible too. And some people, a transformation takes place. We can see it. We watch it every week. And some people don't like preaching. And so they avoid it. I heard a preacher in West Virginia say this one time. If you don't like preaching because you get hit with something every time he preaches, you need to quit building your nest in the gun barrel. Amen. If God showed you something, get it right. Amen. Don't avoid the preaching. Oh, man, come on. Try to stay awake just 5 more minutes. I know it's hard. I got an advantage. I'm standing up. Oh, thank God. Look what it says. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness. You know, Bible says in Romans 8:28, for we know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. And I'm going to tell you, God is so good that he makes things that aren't good work together for good. That's a God to have that can do that. Because I've seen things happen that I don't see any good of at all. And I just don't try to figure it out. I don't try to analyze it. I just trust God and that God will make it. That's the God to have. Amen? It does say abundant in goodness, and I try to emphasize mostly the goodness, but it does say and truth. And it says this in John 8, and I'm almost done. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. What? If ye continue in my word, then ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what Pilate said in John 18? What is truth? You know why people are asking that question still? It wasn't all the con artists aren't on the street. Some of them are in the church. I'm going to tell you what, you don't have to worry about being conned because Jesus Christ is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm glad it's that simple. I'm glad it's not multiple choice. Based on my track record, I made so many bad choices in the first 37 years of my life, I'd have got it wrong. But I didn't get it wrong because it's not multiple choice. It's Jesus Christ. Accept or reject. The truth is, if you don't know him as Savior today, you need to. And you can. Because why? Because he's merciful and he's gracious and he's long-suffering and he's abundant and goodness, and he wants you to come to the truth. And if you never have, this would be a good day. This would be a good day to be saved. He's good enough that he's given us this opportunity to meet together and fellowship together. But he's given us one more chance. Take a little inventory. There's something that needs some spiritual attention. Let's do it. Let's stand. Preacher, you come.